This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset.
Yo, Patty, bring me the big deals.
Are you ready?
Yep, I am ready.
Have you ever done first aid training?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Right.
Yes, I have. I mean, I have not done COVID training since the COVID training. No, I haven't done first aid training since the COVID days. So okay. I believe it is probably a little bit different now.
Last Monday I did first aid training, right? Mm. First up, the trainer had been part of the St. John's ambulance crew since she was 7.
Oh, wow, bloody hell.
7. So she said, I've been doing St. John's ambulance since I was 7. And I went, eight? In front of everyone.
Wow.
And she went, oh yeah, I was a badger. Like, that was going to make me go, oh, right.
If you had just
said you were... Yeah, apparently that's what the 7 to 10s are called in St. John's Ambulance, the badgers.
That's a bit... I didn't even know that was a thing.
Neither did I. It's obviously like brownies and
that's
rainbows,
right, yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. And scouts and cubs.
Yeah.
Are they just called Johns? Oh, I'm just off to John's tonight.
Who's John? No, St. John's.
No, St. John. I'm hanging out with St. John tonight. Down the old John's, down the community centre.
Picture this, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the recovery position. Okay.
Right, yeah.
And she shows us a video of how you put someone in the recovery position.
Mm.
Because of COVID, we then have to put ourselves in the recovery position.
Really?
So I have to lie on the floor.
Put your leg over.
My arm out, my leg over, my other hand up to my cheek, roll myself.
Yeah.
Tip my head back for the airways. And I had to do that 3 times to pass the assessment.
Do you have to all do that at the same time, or are people watching you do that?
So you're in a partnership. So the other person watches you do it and gives you feedback.
I would pay good money to see that shit.
Well, I'm thinking, now we're going to be starting TikTok. I think the first TikTok dance should be us putting ourselves in the recovery position.
Yeah.
Why
is that then? Because people can't get that close to you.
Because you can't touch people to roll them over. And obviously the breathing, you've got to put the head back for the airways. You've got to, there's a lot of touching putting someone in the recovery position.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously you've got the mannequins that you do all the other stuff on.
Yes,
Annie's. I tell you what, CPR is hard.
It's a hard one.
I don't know how people do that for minutes and minutes on end.
And to be doing it, on a real life person. I mean, at least when you're using Annie, it's just a bit of plastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But to be doing that on somebody who's like,
And you don't stop for the breathing anymore, partly because of COVID, but partly because they've realised that the filling of the lungs isn't as important as the keeping the heart going.
Right.
So you don't even get a break.
You don't do any of the old breathing in the mouth.
No, because what they say now is that the filling lungs isn't as important as the... Because obviously, nobody's ever been brought round by CPR. Those movies where they do it for a couple of minutes and someone... All you're doing is keeping them alive.
Right.
So you are basically doing the heart motion for the heart when it's not doing it. And that what they've realized is that, I mean, partly it's because of COVID, but she was also saying that the filling of the lungs now isn't as important as the manipulation of the heart. So I had to do CPR for 2 minutes straight. I was fucking knackered.
Yeah, it is hard work, isn't it?
I said when I finish mine, then you want to come and give me CPR, I'm going to pass out.
Do they still do the, because they used to do a thing where you used to do it to the song Staying Alive.
Yeah, so that's what they would tell you. That would still be the same. Because it's quite quick.
It's quite
a quick pace.
Yeah, I mean, I was just doing it then. I was actually singing and pumping my hands.
Pumping. You were singing and pumping.
See how that... And it is quite... That's quite a... But also a great song to be doing CPR to.
showed something in the chat that said, if only you'd had that when you did the slide through. If only I'd been able to put myself in the recovery position. Anyway, that was my question. I did first aid training. And we should touch on the cartoon I'd like to fuck chat.
The Kilfs. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've
gone on a lot.
You put the old box up, so you did get a lot of input from people on the Kilfs. I can't believe the amount of people that have given this thought.
I know.
Because it's just something I had never looked at a cartoon character and thought, hello, yeah, I'd like to have some alone time with you.
Would you want me to tell you some?
Yes. Go, Pats. Who were the Kilfs that we got in?
Kermit the Frog.
That is just weird.
Weird. It's a puppet.
Yes. It's a frog.
Yes. It's a frog. In the animal vibes, Simba and Mufasa.
Yeah, I don't get that.
No. Johnny Bravo, that was a really, really popular one.
A lot of people see, and I suppose it is that a lot of those male cartoon characters are very chiselled, aren't they?
Oh, very. Well, John Smith from Pocahontas.
I mean, I've never even heard of John Smith. I thought he was an MP or a lager. Wasn't there a lager called John Smith? I have never heard of John Smith from Pocahontas.
I just thought.
Did you know who John Smith was?
Yeah, from Pocahontas. Yeah.
I did not know who John Smith was. Is he chiselled then? Is he chiselled?
Very chiselled. Yeah. Very chiselled. Robin Hood came up a lot.
Yeah, that's another one I'm a bit baffled by. I'm a bit baffled by them all, to be honest.
Well, in terms of female ones, this is one we forgot last week, which is a brilliant one, Ariel.
Oh, yeah, now
she is hot. It's the red hair, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Although, I would imagine the fishtail probably gets in the way.
I reckon that can get quite annoying, actually.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Flipping her fins all the time. Yeah, flipping your fins. You don't get too far. I tell you what you do get, Ariel. You get in my fucking way, love. That's what you do. You might not get far, but you annoy me with it. And the other one that actually our producer said.
Yeah.
Wilma Flintstone.
Yeah. Now, I do get that one. Yeah, I get Wilma because she always had that white dress on with the little, sort of like it was like a little ball thing that was at the top of her chest, wasn't it? And I do get that.
Ball thing.
It was, you know. It was obviously a bone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. A bone ball. Yeah. A ball bone.
A bone ball. A ball bone.
So I do get that, actually.
Now, you bought a good one to me.
Yeah. Now, I had two people message me to say the same thing. And I had actually not even given this person any thought whatsoever. No. But these two people said, He-Man.
Yeah. Oh, God.
In fact, one of the messages came from Michaela, and she actually said, He-Man, he could throw me around Castle Grayskull all day long.
Yeah. He could do the same to me as well. Yeah. And She-Ra. I mean, She-Ra was pretty hot as well.
He-Man
wasn't
and
she?
She-Ra. Yeah.
Yeah. They were both.
Hotties.
Yeah. We did have something to raise with Jo, didn't we, this week?
We did, actually, yeah, because you had a couple of messages. I had a couple of messages. Yeah.
Do you think we should get him on?
Reluctantly, yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Reluctantly.
This isn't how this show is supposed to work.
Everyone meet Jo, our producer, who keeps us in check every week. Jo, we had a lot of people disappointed that there was no Urban Dictionary jingle in the episode last week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can explain that.
Okay.
It's because I wasn't producing last week.
So it's actually tricky.
I did think that. Yeah.
Okay, well, Jo, you can be dismissed. Well, our listeners now know it was not you.
We shall take this up with Tricky next week.
We shall.
Please do.
Yes.
I will now resume my rightful silent place.
Many thanks, Jo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on that note, Pats.
Shall we go into...
Yeah.
The Urban
Dictionary.
Well, this is ironic, isn't it? It's not playing.
Maybe that's what happened with Tricky last week.
Yeah, it's just not happening. I'm pressing play. It's not happening. I'm sorry, Patties.
Okay.
I'll put it in.
Many thanks, Jo.
Urban Dictionary. Okay, I think you'll get this quite quickly, but I thought it was a good one. Detective.
Detective. Now, it's obviously to do with texting.
Yes.
But what I don't, is it when you're trying to work out what someone's saying in a text because it's a bit of a weird text?
Okay, so it's the morning after a hard night of partying when one has to go through their text messages and piece together the activities from the night before. Taking the text clues and putting together what happened. Dude, I've got to do some detective work. I woke up this morning with a naked picture from a stranger. After some detective work, I realised I slept in a bush for 2 hours and then walked to Rite Aid alone.
I don't know what to Rite Aid.
Rite Aid?
I don't know what that is. What the hell's Rite Aid?
I don't know. But I mean, right, if you think about drunken nights, so I got relatively drunk.
You
on
did
Friday
Pat.
Night. I did, didn't I? Oh God, I did. I was quite smashed.
Smashed. You were a smashed patty. You were a smashed patty. She was. You tried FaceTiming me at like about 12:30 at night. I was obviously asleep.
I'd completely forgotten about doing that, which is where this detective comes in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the worst is when you've broken up with somebody and you go out on a heavy night. Because you know you're drunk texting them.
Oh,
aren't you?
That is really annoying, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
when you get so smashed, you're like, and you're probably drunk sexting them, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe even sending the old pics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I miss your penis. I miss your hands all over
me. Okay. That's a struggle with the penis.
Yeah, but when you're pissed, that's the kind of stuff you send, isn't it? When you're smashed. You
have
don't
you ever
do the
sent
whole, like,
a naked pic? Have you ever sent a, you know?
Not a full naked, no.
What have you sent then?
I don't want to talk about this. This is weird.
At least who? To Marty?
Or to someone else?
I don't,
this is weird. I can actually feel that I'm going red. I'm going red. And that never really happened. God, I talk about everything on this podcast. Yeah. Why am I so reluctant to talk about this? I don't know. It just feels a little bit like a violation.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever sent one?
No. No, I don't.
You've never sent any kind of...
No. I don't. No, I don't like that.
Do you think that's a generational thing, though? Because obviously, when you were with Ian, like sexting and picture sexting probably wasn't.
Well, you didn't have it. I mean,
you didn't have it, and you've never sort of been with anyone else. It's not like you then got with somebody in your 30s, and there would have been the opportunity to do that. So I wonder whether it's not just because you didn't want to.
Even if. Like, I don't know, let's say Ian and I split up and I do meet someone else, or I'm kind of, you know, I'm putting myself out there again. The thought of sending someone a picture of my breasts or some kind of sexy pic, I just think I'd feel
What about a sexy pic in underwear?
No, even that, I just think...
Really?
Yeah.
You're not down for it.
No, I'm quite a sort of, you know, I give it Bertie Big Bollocks a lot of the time, but I'm actually not.
You're quite vanilla, aren't you?
Vanilla? Fuck right off. I'm not fucking vanilla. Okay?
Oh, God, that really poked a nerve.
Yeah, I'm not vanilla.
Would you have phone sex?
I don't, again, I just, I get a bit vanilla, awkward.
Mate, vanilla.
I get
vanilla.
Awkward. I'm hashtag orcs.
Are you? What, yes. In sexy time? So you probably have never had to do any detective work then?
No. Other than on a friendship level, that would be
Felt like I had to do some detective work on Saturday morning. Not because I thought I'd done anything wrong or I'd sent something out, but I just thought, God, what did I do? Like, who did
what
I
did
message?
I say? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Who? So I went back into my WhatsApps and I was like, oh no, that's okay. And then I came across the voice note that I sent you and James.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was basically me. Like, hi guys, I love you.
You really go
so much.
You go really slurry.
I do, but I don't think I've been that drunk for a really long time.
You were really, really slurry.
Wasn't I? And so much so that James messaged back saying, bloody hell, Riyadz, you sound smashed.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the best word for it. Smashed.
Yeah, I mean, I was smashed.
Yeah. But yeah, you and do really slur.
I go slur time, big time slur times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. I had to do a bit of like detective, like who did I message? Because it was only when you came over on Saturday that you said I'd FaceTimed you. I was like, shit, I don't. And that, I think your detective work is really, it is after a heavy night, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wake up and you think, God, what
but
did
I also
do?
I think sometimes when you know it's potentially going to be one of those nights, you're actually better just to turn your phone off.
Right.
Because then you can't do any of that shit, can you?
Well, that is big. That is bold.
Yeah, yeah.
That is beautiful.
But I do, because otherwise I think, you know, sometimes, yeah, I've obviously done it on the gram where I've had a few, I've not been absolutely smashed patty, but I've been a little bit, I've been a bit tipsy and I've gone on the gram and I've done shit. And in the morning I think, what the fuck are you doing?
What did I do? Yeah. Well, I put up a story that said I've had a lot of gin and wine and I don't even remember putting that story up.
Well, at least it was just wasn't you actually being a dick, was it?
Smashed. No,
it wasn't you being smashed, Patty.
Yeah, so I thought that the whole so I would love to hear from people about their worst detective stories. I would love some, like, I got really drunk a few months ago and, like, I messaged a picture of my vagina to my ex-partner.
God, straight in with vajay.
And I am going to do it. I'm going to put another box up. You can't type much in the box, but I really want to hear those really, we'll keep you anonymous, but those really meaty, because I don't really have any detective stories.
No,
I don't really
same.
Have any, like, where I've told somebody exactly what I think of them. Mm. Or I suppose my life is quite drama free, really.
Yes, same. I like
boring.
It is, and I do love to hear other people's drama.
Me too.
Yeah, I love to know all that shit because I feel like I'm sort of living it a little bit.
Yeah, you're living vicariously through them, aren't you?
Vicariously. Yeah, that is one.
Anyway, listen, if you've got detective stories,
yes,
we really, really want to hear
them. We need to hear these.
At the top of next week's show, anonymous, if you want to be anonymous, we would love to read some out. So there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
So, Ange, tell us, what has been getting on your shitting tits?
Right, Pats. Changing rooms.
Any good one.
Any kind of changing room. Be it in your H&M or your Zara or your, you know, I was going to say Topshop, but they no longer exist. But you kind of change your rooms for clothes. But I think generally the bigger issue for me in changing rooms is at the gym, right?
Right.
I have a real problem with the sort of what do you call those changing rooms where it's all sort of open plan?
Communal
changing rooms.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't been to a gym in a long time, but I have been, you know, I've had memberships at gyms before. And I've been to, you know, like when you go to spas and shit like that, you know, and they've got sort of those communal area, changing areas. I find them very weird and quite awkward because you get certain women who are just all out. Everything's out. They get undressed in a fancy way. They flaunt it. They wander around the whole area, you know. So I remember there was one woman I saw drying her hair naked. Yeah, I mean, why do you feel the need to do that in a communal area?
Well, do you know what I find is when you've got two women who are having a conversation start bollock making.
Yes. All of that shit I find. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you do what I call the towel change, which is also annoying, isn't it?
Well,
you've got to fucking wrap the towel around you.
See, it's I feel like I can be in the changing room getting changed. If I'm doing my top half, I'll cover my bottom half. So I don't mind being out.
Right.
I don't mind tits out. what I'm saying.
Hi.
But I don't like the full thing out. I'm like, I'll get tits out while I'm putting my bra on, or I'm putting the top half on, or whatever it might be. And then I feel comfortable to do the bottom half. But the whole thing about doing all out, I just find irritating.
Do you know what I find annoying? If you're not in a communal, but you're in a swimming pool changing room,
a swimming bath, right.
swimming baths.
Yeah.
There's a few things for me. I love going swimming. I love it so much. I hate getting dressed afterwards.
Oh yeah. You see, there you go. There's another thing. Yeah.
Oh my. So you're in that cubicle, which, let's be honest, feels like it's like 2 inches by 2 inches.
Well, it feels like you're in a cupboard, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you're anything over a size 10, you're fucked, basically. Right. And you get out and the floor is soaking wet and you're like, God, okay, I've got to try. And you're sort of stood there dripping wet in a towel thinking, got to get this costume. You have to roll your costume. Getting out of the costume when you're wet is a nightmare, isn't it?
I think getting out of your costume when you're wet, it's getting dressed when you're wet.
Oh, getting dressed when you're wet.
When you are wet, getting dressed. It is an absolute ball ache.
And all you want to do is get out of that cubicle. So you try and do it quickly. Mm. And you like putting a bra on when you're damp.
I think you just have to go underwear free.
The best thing to do, if you're going swimming, is joggers and a hoodie after.
Yes, exactly. No one
underwear free
on.
And joggers and a hoodie, because a baggy, oversized, comfortable, warm. I mean, if you've got to go to work, those people that are like, yeah, I went for a swim at 5 this morning, you're like, God, how are you like dressed okay? Is your underwear not half rolled down your buttocks because your body is still damp and you couldn't pull them up enough? Is your bra strap wrapped around your arm? Like, how have you managed to get that pencil skirt on with wet legs?
Do you know what I think in those moments, right? When I'm in the changing room after I've been for a swim.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get dressed in a cupboard. Yeah. I think these are the points where I wish I had some talc.
Do you know what I mean? That's the best thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Talc. What has happened to talc? Where has talc gone? I don't see talc anywhere now. You know, that was the big thing.
How can you say talc one more time?
Talc.
How many times can you say talc?
Talcum. Talcum powder. Why is it even called talcum powder?
Where has talc gone? Why can't I get talc anymore?
I am serious, because I think talc should be freely available in swimming pool dressing rooms. Changing rooms.
Right. Like a dispenser.
You should be able to go to the dispenser, get a shitload of talcum, take it with you into your cupboard and bang. Just put it powder everywhere. Powder under your breasts, powder between your legs, powder in your buttocks, powder in your legs. Then, only then, can you get yourself dressed. So I think there's a big thing here for leisure centres to start providing talcum.
Yes.
On tap talcum.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I mean, the amount of times that you said talc then.
Talc. It's a great word.
You just kept saying it.
Say talc. Okay, so we got the old dickishes. Dickish behaviours. Okay, yeah. Now this, we have had a great dickish in from Snedders. Yeah. Snedders is one of the OGs.
Who is an OG. She is
Snedders,
a big time OG.
Snedders on Gram. She has sent this.
Yeah.
Barbecues. Why does the person who flips the meat on the barbecue get all the praise? Why are they the hero of the moment and get their ass kissed by everyone when I've been running around cleaning, shopping for said meat, dressing salads, cleaning the grills, chilling drinks, bowling nibbles, gathering cutlery and coleslaw? Do I get any thanks? Do I buggery? Meanwhile, husband is lording it up, flipping a couple of burgers and getting pats on the back left, right and centre. Livid.
So true.
Great message from Snedders.
So true.
So true. What is that about?
And it's normally the bloke, let's be honest, it's normally the man. If you're in a heterosexual relationship and you're a female and a male, it's normally the bloke stood at the barbecue, like, I don't know, king of the fucking jungle.
Yeah.
Thinking he's He-Man.
Yeah. And you're his She-Ra.
And he's going to throw you around Grace and Carskull later. Is that what it's called? Grace and Carskull? Is that what it's called?
Castle Grayskull.
Grace and Carskull. Grace and Carskull. Let's stick with Grace and Carskull.
Grace and Carskull.
Sounds like a name of someone.
It does. It sounds like I'm just popping off to see Grace and Carskull.
He's good. He's very good mates with E-Man. So, yeah, it's normally the bloke standing there, flips a burger. Oh, God. And you sit down, you know, there's loads of food on the table. You've got your salads, your potato salads, your coleslaws, your chutneys, your chutneys, your sauces, your breads, your dipping breads in oil, all of that bollocks.
Yeah.
And all anyone says is, oh, Steve, cracking barbecue this, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
This is a cracking burger, Steve.
Next time, perfectly
cooked.
Next time you come for a barbecue, I'll just leave it to Steve and you'll have none of this extra hang-ons.
You'll basically just have the meat. That's all you'll have, is the meat.
No bread, no condiments, no sauces.
No accoutrements.
I love the fact that she says chilling drinks, bowling nibbles, gathering cutlery and coleslaw. Bowling nibbles? Snedders, what are you doing over there? I'm just bowling some nibbles. Get off my case.
It is so true. And it's actually true. It's such a real, like, manly thing, isn't it? Barbecuing. You know, if you're a bloke and you've got a barbecue and you've got a set of tongs and you've got a beer in your hand, you are basically, like, you know, king meat. You are the king of the meat.
What about those people who go really all out with barbecues?
Yeah. What's the thing where you marinating?
Oh, and marinating. Have like a massive level of barbecue, like the size of their garden.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you open it, it's got like six grill layers on it.
I think that shit is like the equivalent of like men who drive flashy cars.
I agree. I think they're normally in the same vein. Flashy car, flashy barbecue.
Yeah. Small dick.
Very small dick.
You know, I think it's like the barbecue is an extension of.
Yeah.
Look at the size of my barbecue. Look at the size of my penis.
And it's very tiny.
Yeah, you can't put the two together.
You know, and it's like, you know, you know that those blokes also fit into mansplaining, like we talked about last week.
Yes.
And they mansplain the barbecue to you, right? This is my Outback barbecue. Yeah. You got six grills here. Yeah, I can see that. And what you do is we link it up. You can have gas or coal. I can see the areas for gas and coal. Yeah. And basically what you do is, no, it's okay, Steve. I've seen a fucking barbecue before, you prick.
Yeah. Like, I can grill.
It's like, oh, and by the way, where's Stedder? She's been inside for 3 hours. She's having a breakdown in there. She can't get the potato salad to go right. But don't you worry. You stand here flipping your burgers, mate.
Yeah. Talking to Tom.
Talking to Tom and Dick and Harry about the size of your barbecue and how that equates to a small penis.
Yeah. It really is. It is such a manly, blokey thing to do.
Yeah, isn't it?
They just become absolute bellends.
Okay, so we're into the Don't Go There segment.
We are.
We've got quite an interesting one, haven't we?
We have actually, Pat, this week. Yeah. And we actually, you know, when we get to this point in our podcast and we sort of are thinking about what we could talk about, what we might want to talk about, if there's anything kind of current that's going on that we could. And this one actually really, we spoke for a long time in the prep about this.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, I mean, you've done a bit over this last weekend around this topic. And that's why we thought, you know what, let's talk about it on here. Let's put it out here.
Yeah.
So the thing we're going to talk about today is disordered eating. I feel like I probably don't have a huge place to say a huge amount about it. But I think you do, Pat. And I think the things that you bring and the things that you're highlighting are really important. And I feel that this is your kind of place to sort of share your thoughts on it. So I will listen intently.
Thank you. So I've probably over the last few months been really thinking about food and eating and the way that perhaps food has controlled me probably all my life, I would say.
Yeah.
And I saw a really interesting stat on Instagram that somebody sent me, which was only 6% of people who have eating disorders are underweight. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a really interesting conversation about disordered eating, and you know, eating disorders are psychological. That mm-hmm. that is what they are. It's it's a disassociation, and you know, disordered and chaotic eating, be that binge eating, be that
not eating,
you know, under eating.
Yeah,
and I've been sort of exploring this myself for probably since I turned 39, which is mm-hmm. when I've sort of everything's kind of come to a head. And I've began to really control my intake of food, probably mm-hmm. not in a particularly healthy way. And I started to think about, where does somebody of my size with my body shape go for help with that? Because the fat bias that is present in the medical profession, and and I say that, I don't say that lightly, I love the NHS, I really do, but the amount of times I've been to the GP and I've just been prescribed Weight Watchers or Slimming World or told to go to the gym, or, you know, it's not easy. You know, if I went to the doctors, I know there's some GPs that I could go and see, and I would say I'm really struggling with eating and I'm perhaps controlling my intake of food, and they would make a snide comment to me. They would say probably not a bad thing. And I started to think about this, and I've been really thinking about it for a long time, and I purposefully haven't said anything on it because I don't really know where my mind is at with it. But what I do know is that there's lots and lots of people, fat people, overweight people, obese people, people in bigger bodies, whatever language you want to use, who are really psychologically struggling around food and don't know where to go to get the help and support from it. And I put up a few stories, and just one of the messages that I got, I'm gonna keep it anonymous, I'm gonna keep this person anonymous, but this person says to me, "Wow, it's like you've popped into my brain to have a look around. I'm so sick of food controlling my life and feeling ultimately like a socially unacceptable fat failure. I don't fit the criteria of binge eating unless I'm on a diet, which triggers a binge monster. But I know that my eating is definitely disordered. I decided to take the plunge and went to my GP, and all they offered me was a gym membership, which doesn't address my psychological needs. I've recently reached out to a local eating disorder charity, hoping maybe they can help. Good luck with the therapy. I'm also seeking a therapist and glad you're bringing awareness to this subject." And I think there's a bigger conversation for me about probably about fat shaming and how fat people are made to feel in society. You know, can't go into some toilet cubicles because they're too small for us. Always have to ask for the extra seatbelt extender on an aeroplane. Aeroplane seats don't really fit us. So if you really want to become comfortable on a flight, you better order two seats, not one. And I think there's this really interesting thought that you're lazy. You just eat too much. I watched a video of a woman on Instagram a few months ago, and she was absolutely bawling her eyes out, and she said she's gone to her GP 6 months before saying that she had intense stomach pain every time she ate. And this woman is sat in her car crying her eyes out. And she said, "When I plucked up the courage to go to the doctors, because I'd waited too long anyway because I'm fat and I knew I'd get told off, she said to the doctor, 'Every time I eat, I get this horrible, horrible pain in my stomach.' And he said, 'That's probably not a bad thing.' It turned out that this woman had bowel cancer." And I think, I know this is heavy, and I know that this is difficult for people to hear, and I know that there is a narrative in society that fat people are the problem. But I think, I know in my head, food either controls me emotionally and I overeat it because of the satisfaction it gives me, or it controls me it from a physical perspective and I undereat because of what I feel society says I should look like, says I should look like. And I definitely have to get some psychological help and support. And food is so socially acceptable, isn't it? Like, if you are addicted to food, which I probably have never said before, but would probably say I am. I would say food has become an addiction for me, both in controlling my mood and how I use it and how I abuse it, probably. How do you manage that addiction when it's everywhere?
When it's just
everywhere.
Things like
now when you go into a petrol station to buy a drink, they say to you, it'll be cheaper if you get a sandwich and a packet of crisps. Mm. Like somebody who has definitely an unhealthy relationship with food, I'm always going to take the sandwich and the packet of crisps, whether I need it or not.
Yeah.
And then the government have a go at me and say it's my fault that I'm fat and it's just because I'm lazy. And I think fat shaming in society, we've got to stop it. We've got to stop making people feel less, you know, like that person said in that Instagram message, socially unacceptable and as a fat failure. I mean, those words, God. Yeah.
I think especially when, like you said earlier, there is no help out there.
No.
There's no, you know, if you go to your GP, you know, you're probably going to get like some, funny remark, or it's going to be, here we go, here's a gym membership, or here's a subscription to Weight Watchers, or whatever it may be. You know, there's no, and so much of it is psychological. So much of it is about what your relationship is with food, how you think about food, how that's kind of controlled you for a lot of people for a very long time.
Definitely.
And there's just nothing available to people. And I think also this, you know, the whole thing around, you know, the cost of eating well, you know, the cost to kind of eat as people say, a healthy balanced diet, it is expensive. It's expensive to buy, you know, fresh food and organic food, all of those things actually. So even from a financial perspective, that really does limit what you're able to eat. And quite often, you know, fast food is cheaper, it's more available, you can drive in and drive out. It's that sort of, so I think as a society, there is so much that we could and should be doing to kind of start to make this better, easier, and for there to be more help out there for people who find themselves in a situation where they know that there is this disordered eating. And how do you get out of that? How do you start to sort of pull yourself out of that place?
And also, I think as soon as we think about disordered eating, we think about people who are severely underweight. And that statistic, like, has stayed in my head of 6% of people who have an eating disorder are underweight. Only 6%. So what about this cohort of fat people who quite frankly just feel so ashamed of the place they've got themselves into? You know, the narrative that we're told all the time is that it's our fault. You know, I without question over the last few months have massively controlled my food intake. That becomes addictive, right? That becomes really addictive. I would say there's probably points in the last few months that I have malnourished myself. I don't say that I've malnourished myself lightly. I don't even say that for any other reason than it's I suppose been a bit of a wake-up call for me. And really honestly, I don't know how to pull this back, because without some real help and support, because I feel so guilty now around food. I got a small chicken kebab on Saturday night, right? I had lemon juice on it with a load of salad. And I kept saying to Matthew, oh God, I've eaten too much today. I've eaten too much today. I shouldn't really eat this, should I? I shouldn't really finish it. God, that is getting into serious, serious territory about my relationship with food. And I just feel so, you know, I feel confident enough to talk about this now. I've been on a bit of an internal journey with it myself. I've got therapy booked for Saturday. You know, I feel like I'm in a place that I could start to open up. But there's so many people out there who are existing in this lonely. Yeah. And because their BMI is a certain number, or the scales say a certain number, nobody would take them seriously when they talk about how food has controlled them. So I just wanted to start the conversation, really. I reckon I probably had over 90 messages on Instagram when I put those stories up from people saying, this is me, this is my life, this is my head, I can't. And I just want to say to people, you're not alone in it, and it's awful, and it feels lonely.
Do you think there's any places on that people can go?
So there's a really great eating disorder website charity called Beat, who are brilliant, and they would help with any sort of disordered eating, be that binge eating, controlling food intake. They work with anybody who feels that they have assessed themselves, that food has become a psychological problem. There's a really brilliant book called Intuitive Eating, which is also really, really great. I've just ordered it. I've had it recommended by nutritionalists and other people who, and there's also a great book called Fat is a Feminist Issue, which is another really great resource. But if you'll have local charities, local eating disorder charities, but Beat is a national eating disorder charity, and they have a helpline which you can ring at any time. I think it's 24 hours a day, but don't quote me on that. But I would say they are probably, look, controlling your food intake is a form of self-harm. There's no doubt about it. We don't think about it in that, you know, binge eating is a form of self-harm, but both of them fall into that category. So the place I'd recommend people to go would be to Beat. That is a really good online space for people.
Well, that's really helpful, Pat. Thank you.
But Patty, let's quickly touch in with you. Did you make your phone call on Tuesday?
So the lady I was due to have a call with, her day changed. I didn't speak to her Tuesday, but she sent me a text on the Wednesday. I had quite a crazy end of the week last week.
Yes.
But we then had some text messages on Friday, and I'm actually going to see, so this is one of the ladies, I'm actually going to see her next, so a week on Wednesday, to do like a 30 minute sort of, let's just meet and see kind of how you feel, how I feel, whether we think it might be a good match for us to do some therapy.
Fantastic.
So I've got that one booked in. And then the other lady, again, I sent her email. She sent one back. I haven't got back to her yet, but I'm going to. And she's given me some sort of slots she has available. And so I just need to have a look and see when I can go. So yes, basically, I'm doing my shit, Pat.
This is fantastic. And so, I start with Kate on Saturday.
Yes. I mean, we are really bringing the therapy,
aren't
we?
We're really going big time.
We really are. We are
really bringing it big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
And actually, that's, do you know what? Another thing that I feel really fortunate that, because it's not cheap. It is not,
honestly,
you know,
it's such a privilege.
It really is. You know, when I've had these sort of communications with these two women recently, and obviously they, you know, they've told me how much it costs an hour and that it is a big outlay, and I feel
it's
very
such a privilege.
Yes, yeah. And I think it, you know, given like what I've kind of experienced recently, what you're sort of dealing with at the moment and have felt for a long time, I think I don't underestimate how fortunate we are to be able to say, do you know what, I'm going to go and get myself six sessions of therapy or 12 or whatever it might be that you feel you need, because that is a big expense. I'm very aware of that, and I feel very grateful that, you know, I'm in a position I can do that. And that's another thing that you sort of think for people that aren't in that position, what do you do then? Because what is there that you can access?
Austerity killed that.
Exactly. So yes, I will keep you all posted.
Anyway, if anything that we've spoken about in this week's episode, the good or the, you know, the funny or the more serious, we'd love to hear from you. We always love getting your messages, and we get so many. We're so fortunate that we have such an engaged listenership. So if you want to get in touch with us, there's loads of ways you can get in touch. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Gordon.
And I'm at Ant Gordon. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthgordon.com.
But as you all know, we will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.